Well, never have we needed love more than we do today. Never have we faced a deeper crisis touching every aspect of our lives, what we think, what we do, what we feel, than our pandemic today. Barely a year ago, our nation and our whole planet fell prey to the coronavirus and has caused more than 500,000 deaths. And this day finds us still with no certain end in sight. Yet we have, it seems, never let go of that mysterious but vital root of our being, loving and the search for love. Love's always been out there in this universe. Well, trees reach out to their saplings, to each other with care and compassion. And so many animals, humans included, have reached out to so much in nature and to other species. No surprise, is it, that pet adoptions went up 40% over last year. And they might have been higher if pet adoption agencies had not run out of stock. Yet, nothing about love is simple. One of the most complicated definitions of love that's ever arisen in our faiths, the one that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians, I am finding still informs our lives today. Paul wrote, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This pandemic asks us to weigh with all our hopes and fears what's been happening to love. Well, there's good news and the bad news about how love has fared. And I'll start with love and marriage. Well, first the bad news. At least one out of three married Americans report that the pandemic has increased the stress in their marriage. And reports of stress are highest among those who've suffered the most financial harm from the COVID pandemic. But there's perhaps surprising good news. The response to stress seems to have affirmed marriage rather than severing the bonds of love. Rather than driving couples apart, there's been a rise in reports of appreciation that partners have for each other and a sense of commitment. Nearly 6 out of 10 married men and women said the pandemic has made them appreciate their partner more, and almost as many have reported that these months of the pandemic have deepened their commitment to their relationship, especially for those going through major financial hardship. This year of crisis has caused them to turn towards, not away from their spouse. Starting with a pandemic, the number of married men and women who said their marriage was in trouble actually dropped down from 40% in 2019 to less than 30% during 2020. Interestingly, most married couples aged 18 through 55 reported they were having sex weekly, and they were having sex more often. And there are more married couples who were having more sex than couples whose sex life had gone into decline. So the good news is marriage in the time of the pandemic is going better than we might have expected, not worse. It's more loving and it's sexier. Our human story today seems to be about that human resilience in troubled times that strengthens rather than fractures the bonds of love. Indeed, this deepening of appreciation between married partners seems to speak St. Paul's assertion of love's kindness and love's patience under stress. It speaks to the respect for truth, the willingness to endure, to bear the burdens couples share, and perhaps to live with hope. Well, now for a look at the love lives of single men and women. 50 years ago, 9 out of 10 women and men between the ages of 25 and 50 had married. Our world has changed profoundly. In 2018, just before the pandemic, 1 out of 3 women were single. About 32% of men with full-time jobs were single, and more than half of men without full-time jobs were single. With the pandemic and the era of lockdowns and quarantines and job loss, the number of new marriages across the U.S. has spiraled downward. So many weddings have been canceled or delayed and may or may not be rescheduled when the pandemic ends. We don't know how many couples already live together and whether they will opt for marriage when this plague is over. But there's also the world of single men and women who are living without partners. And we find that these single adults have faced a huge decline in their ability to connect with a love partner or a sexual partner. Lockdowns and partial lockdowns, of course, interfere with meeting and dating. Schools and universities are either closed or now limit new connections by the rules of social distance and masks. Restaurants, nightclubs, bars, inns may be inaccessible. Political and religious gatherings have been canceled or restricted, where once singles could meet and talk and eat and drink and share some coffee and breathe close to each other. If singles try to connect with distant friends outside the bubble of their daily lives, they face the real risks of travel and lodging away from home. It's no surprise then that there are singles who have given up dating. The pandemic for some seems like time lost or missed opportunity, especially for single women who want a family. But for many, it's a time to reflect on what they really want in their lives. One woman in her 30s who had just ended a 5-year relationship with a man, for the first time in her life, allowed herself to acknowledge in public that she was, in her own words, queer. Friends finally saw an aspect of herself she had never shared before. Rather than actually dating women, she is using this era to study and learn all she can about her own sexuality, and she takes mental notes. She wrote of herself, "I want to touch a woman like that. I want to surprise a woman with a serenade." Another woman in her mid-20s was now confronting the obvious question, how do you casually date when you cannot touch each other? She had wanted to be married before reaching 35 and have kids, but she feels too responsible to risk her health and her family's health to live the experience she once expected in her 20s. In truth, though, there are still people who are meeting up, who are cuddling, who are making out and having sex with new partners. Many see this side of life as hooking up. Sex with a partner can involve the same mental calculus as applies to other social interactions during this pandemic. Will I feel safe? What's the likelihood of infection? But the pandemic involves even more stigma around sex and sexuality than before the plague struck. Some health experts see the current patterns of the ways of singles as polarizing. At one extreme are the singles who are ending their contact with others, while others are going everywhere like there's nothing going on. On the middle ground, there are people now setting boundaries from the outset, like getting tested and quarantining before meeting, and then sticking to a single partner. As they negotiate, people are finding that the key to dating now is what it's always been, trust. For many singles, meeting up has felt worth the trust, the risk. A young woman wrote, "Everything I enjoy doing has been taken away from me, but there's one thing they can't take away from me, and that's having sex." She began dating with a man she met for outdoor drinks, then went back to his apartment. They started seeing each other once a week. But a few months later, she asked if he was sleeping with other people. "I just want to be safe," she told him. "I want one less thing to be worried about." And now the two are physically exclusive. A young man in his 20s found a new interest, a masked man with beautiful blue-gray eyes. They met then day after day on FaceTime. And then the man with the beautiful eyes asked him to quarantine and have two more virus tests before they met for an outdoor meal. Just 6 months before, this young man in his 20s was having casual sex with men that he met on dating apps. But now he deleted all the apps, and he was finding the delayed gratification exciting. "He's making me work harder," he said of his upcoming date. This blue-eyed man who's a nurse practitioner, the young man said, "It's his life and his job on the line. And I want to make sure that I'm protecting his values and everything he's doing." We are both wearing our hearts on our sleeves in terms of vulnerability because we can't be physical. Another woman, age 40, had a few unsuccessful walking dates and then met a match at an outdoor cafe, mask-free. Afterwards, she had a coronavirus test and self-quarantined. She knew he worked from home and wasn't going out. Her thoughts, do I trust you? Do I believe you? These are things we can't know. I can only assume and hope that you're not lying to me. Take what they say at face value. Make sure actions and words align. Are they giving me any pushback on my boundaries? Are they ignoring any boundaries I've stated? Another single man found his perspective was evolving as the pandemic went on. His first date during the pandemic was with a friend. It felt strange to meet, but after months of no physical contact, he decided the reward would be greater than the risk of getting sick. The two of them kissed. I am reminded that in Hindu, Vedic, Sanskrit texts, kissing was described as inhaling each other's soul. Well, here are some of the new rules people have been navigating for their casual dating. Meet the first date for lunch, not dinner, to avoid alcohol and sex. Have each get a COVID test before you meet each other and a sexually transmitted disease test before having sex. Increase the number of virtual dates you go on before your first in-person meeting. Have conversations about your comfort level. What do you want? What's on the table and what's not on the table? Since the pandemic, here are some of the new turn-ons. When someone has a hand sanitizer in their pocket. When someone offers you an extra fresh mask they've brought. When someone agrees to quarantine for days before a date. When someone's the type of person with whom you can make hard decisions. The vulnerability and isolation imposed by the pandemic have forced daters to rethink what really matters. Find someone you can really talk to. Respect each other's boundaries. Plan in advance. Know how to improvise when your plans are thwarted. These new impacts on dating have actually heated up the relationships. People are realizing a date goes beyond physical exposure. You're choosing to risk COVID, but you're also being emotionally, mentally vulnerable by trusting this person and believing what they're saying. Having to ask questions about another person's comfort level has forced many to consider what consent means. If you have to ask whether a hug is okay or whether you can take off your mask, you learn to honor your own boundaries and other people's. Okay, these relationships are sexy, but is it love? I believe that a profound transformation is underway in the life of singles that could not have been imagined before the pandemic. Again, I remember the way Apostle Paul defined love. When people agree to virtual meetings for weeks and quarantine before they meet face to face, that sounds like the patience of love to me. When people sanitize their hands and get COVID tested and get tested for STDs and use their masks and offer fresh masks to their date, that sounds like the kindness of love to me. When people talk together about their comfort level, what they want in their lives, that seems to me like the letting go of arrogance, of boasting, of rudeness. When people develop trust in what they tell each other and hear from each other, that sounds to me like the joy of truth. When people plan together and learn to improvise when their plans are thwarted, that sounds to me like the love that helps one bear all things and hope all things and endure all things. Is this transformation the love that never ends? Will these changes, this deepening wisdom in the lives of so many singles, persist when the plague has finally ended? Will the deepened love of marriages persist when this plague, this time of darkness has ended? Only time will tell. We're going through a time of darkness. One day, this darkness will dissolve and we will have new light in the world. For now, in the words of the poet May Sarton, help us to be the always hopeful gardeners of the spirit who know that without darkness, nothing comes to birth, as without light, nothing flowers. Namaste. May it be so.